Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast from LaBelle Purveyors. This week we're in the bunker talking tournament prep. TempleCon's around the corner, and I'm backed into a corner. So the guys are going to help me prep for the tournaments. So sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 11 of Geeks of the North. As always, I'm your host Paul Filion, here with my co-hosts. Well, there's a whole bunch of guys here, we're not going to go into it. It's Antoine and the other two.
Hello! I'm one of the two.
Makes you feel really welcome.
Okay, fine. I'm here with Antoine, B. Steve, and Yom Nameshin.
That's better. Thank you. Hello, Paul!
How are you, Yom?
Pretty good. About you, Paul?
I can't complain. But
you look in great shape, Paul.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Round is a shape. All right.
Tired, too.
Oh, yeah, well, we'll get into that in a bit. So, standard show, doing the hobby, doing the games, doing the news. No question of the week this week, because Mike Spieler apparently ran out of stuff to ask us. And then we're going to be talking some upcoming events, and then tournament prep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so this should be interesting.
We're going to share all our secrets.
Really, the only tournament player we have here is Steve.
Well, I'm going to share my secrets.
Yeah. I've played in a tournament.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
More than one. It's not like we haven't done tournaments. No, we're just less tournament-minded than Steve.
That's right. You guys have played a lot more tournaments than I have.
Fluff player. I'm the fluff player. But still...
Fluff is synonymous with spam.
Yeah, it is.
In his book.
In my case, but the tournament can be for event as well. So if you, even though you're casual.
Or it could be a fun tournament, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Tournaments aren't necessarily super serious, for the fate of the world.
No. Unless it's the end times, then it's the end of the world.
But I feel fine. yeah, I know that was terrible, guys. It's late. I've had like 4 hours of sleep all week. Don't ask for much. So why don't I take us into hobby time? And I actually had a pretty productive week this week. As we mentioned last podcast, I'm going to TempleCon next week, leaving on Wednesday. My buddy Dan is running a tournament there for Drop Zone Commander. And I picked up an army like 2 years ago, never did anything with it. And I decided that I had to show support for him in his tournament, so I'm going to play. But of course, I hate playing with unpainted models. There's no paint requirement for his event, but it just bothers me. So this week I painted 40 some odd models for Drop Zone Commander, and I've got another 25 or so to paint this weekend, just to make sure everything's painted and done. I don't need that many for the tournament, but it'll all be done.
You don't want to go back and have to find again your color scheme.
Exactly. So I'll just paint everything. I'll leave some detailing left to do, but all the base colors will be there, the camo, the shading and stuff will be done. And the
models look pretty good. It's just 40 models after that, after all.
Well, they're small models.
They're 10 millimeters, so yeah. It's true that they go fast. Like all the Spartan game stuff paints so much quickly than anything else I've ever painted. So yeah. I can see why. They're a little bigger and more detailed.
Yeah, so...
The Drop Zone one. But.
Well, see, the thing about Spartan... So when I did my Spartan game stuff, the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth and the Russian Federation stuff, there's a lot of different textures.
Yeah.
So it catches dry brush and washes very, very well.
You could have the same thing with Drop Zone if you picked another faction than this super sleek.
But that's what sci-fi you want. The faction I picked, everything is super sleek and rounded, right? Yeah, yeah. So if you wash it, it just looks muddy. So I am doing washes, but they're very, very pinpoint in the crevices between armor plates only.
Yeah. And in joints area and stuff
like exactly. That. So it means, there's tricks to doing precise washes, right? You gloss varnish the model first, and then you just put a dot of wash, in one of the crevices, and let the, what's it called? Not wicking. Is it wicking? But anyway, basically, surface tension will draw the fluid through the whole crevasse, so you don't have to try to, mop on and then wipe off, which is another thing some people do. You take Q-tip, put a little rubbing alcohol on it, wash the model, and then you can clean up what you don't need. And it works well. But it's definitely a slower process than my dystopian war stuff was.
Mm-hmm.
But conversely, I used my airbrush for this. Yeah. So, I did with you guys on, we did a Google Hangout for painting, as we often do now. And I did everything in 5.5 hours or so.
Something like that, yeah.
From bare model to colors and washed. Hmm. So I can't really complain for the for the volume of stuff that was done.
That's good work.
Yeah. No? Yeah, and they look good on the table. I was playing with Dan last night, and I'll go into that later in the game section, but he couldn't get over how good the stuff looked on the table for the amount of time I spent on it. And even the other Guillaume, the store Guillaume, was like, I don't know how you can do whole armies that fast, looking this good. Practice. It's all about practice. But yeah, so that was my week in painting. And I also prepped my Warp Wolf Skinwalker unit attachment, the unit leader.
The Alpha,
thank you. I prepped him. I prepped Shifting Stones. And I painted a Stalker, the Warp Wolf Stalker, about 80% done.
Oh.
So yeah, I changed my list for TumbleCon. I decided I was going to do an all big monster list. So it's 3 Heavy Warbeasts, Kea, some Shifting Stones, and the Skinwalkers. For 35 points.
That's fine.
I don't know if it'll be viable, but things will die. It's all good.
Less models to carry around.
Yeah, exactly. But mine are all the old models, the big chunks of metal. I'll understand what Antoine goes through.
Yeah, the troll bits are so heavy.
But it's okay. You're going by car, so when you pass custom, you're fine. But when you go through airport security with metal model and they put it your luggage through X-ray, you see the big blob of metal in the X-ray. And they open this up, please. Let me see what's inside. So
it's my man toys.
Yeah,
at Tinkin, they didn't ask me anything about the Carrion.
Oh, about the really?
Yeah.
Oh no!
Old time.
When we went to Adepticon last year. Oh, can I tell the story? What happened last year? Do we have time for this?
Sure, sure.
Okay. So
it's our podcast. We have as much time as we want.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. So I was the first going through, and
notice I said our. Yeah, see?
Yeah, we're part of it, yo. We made it.
Play my five. Yeah, there you go. I was gonna say you guys
failed a high five.
Failed a high five.
So I was the first one going through the scanner, and I had the Casket of Soul in metal. So it was big blob with sharp stuff going up. So okay, sir, open your suitcase. He said, "Oh yeah, you're playing Warhammer, yeah." So he opened my suitcase, checked the model. And then afterward, we were 4 people taking the same flight, and everybody had to open their suitcase. But like the last one, he was just checking the paint on the model. He didn't care what was inside. He knew what the content was. He was just checking the paint job of every army.
Well, it's like when Meg came to town, she had to like get the stuff out of the display case to show people at the airport because they wanted to see. Because she transports everything in a
table war case.
Table war case, yeah. Okay. So it's all metal trays, all everything. So you should take everything out, show them.
It has the clear front, so people can see what's in it and be more careful than if it was opaque.
Yeah.
Opaque. Any more painting? Or
No. That was it. Sorry, you guys were going on, so I was like looking back at the dock, like, who's talking next?
Well, I can go next then.
Okay.
In the last 2 weeks, I was able to finish the fell color I started, that I mentioned in the last show. I also finished the Relic Knight Pacer. I started back 2 weeks ago too for my son. And I did Super Dungeon Explorer, Cobalt Galger, the little metal dudes from before the game was something existing for real.
Yeah. Back in the metal blisters, right?
Yeah.
It looks really good, but why?
Store Guillaume had one extra he didn't know what to do with because he already had the game in plastic, and he gave it to me. I don't know why. He didn't want it, and he asked me if I wanted it. And the skin was already done in Arcane Blue. That's a peachy color.
Yes.
And that's why the color he is right now is that. And it wasn't my desk, and once I was done with the Pacer, I was looking at my desk and what projects I wanted to start. And they were all big stuff that I needed the airbrush for. And I only have maybe an hour at night right now. So just setting everything up was too much work. So I just looked at what I had on the table and it was there. So I picked him up and, I'll go with it.
He had a lucky number.
Yeah. So
That's it was totally just out of the blue. Like, and why? Come on.
Guillaume painted all his stuff. All their heroes are dark. And like their anti-heroes. Yeah. Yes. And the kobolds are super flashy and stuff like that. So I painted it super colorful and bright to give it back to him. But he doesn't know that, so.
Okay.
So you better do it before we publish the show in a few days.
Oh, I'll give it to you, and you'll probably have another game with Dan or something like that and bring it to the store.
Well, actually, if you publish on Wednesday...
You'll be at Temple Cunning.
I'll be in the car, right? Yeah. So then maybe we can listen to it in the car on the way down. He'll find out, and I'll give it to him in the car.
That's
the
car. Fine. That's
perfect
fine
timing. Yeah. That safe
work.
Driving.
That could work. Well, I'm not the one driving.
Okay.
Dan's driving. So I need something to distract me from that.
For that six-hour drive.
Yeah, so that's the story behind the cobalt that you were wondering all week why I was painting that. Okay, on top of those, I continued work on the two objective I've been working on enough for the past months, I think. Past 2 months.
Oh, at least.
Yeah, and I do maybe 5 minutes, some 5 minutes a week on them. So right now I'm doing the base. Adding some sand because it's a complete model in resin and the base is too flat. So I just added sand so it fits with the armies I would be using it with. And after that,
objective for what?
50 millimeter objective to be able to be used for Distant Legion or War Machine.
Okay.
Now that you must provide an objective, you must select an objective in your tournament or, well, your list for Steamrollers. I'm painting objective that fit with what I want to use for my pigs.
So it's a big barbecue pit.
No. I could add one. Probably something like that.
To roast the pig.
Yeah, exactly. Bacon is drawn to it.
It's a bucket of barbecue bacon sauce.
So the objective, one is almost done. There was just the base left to do. And I only need one when I play because the opponent should have one or store should have one too. So I'll finish this one to have a full kit if people come to play at my house. But I probably
have... Did you notice how sad he looked when he said that? If people come to play at my house? What? Your face? You looked like someone had just driven over your puppy. It was hilarious. I don't know why. Like, poor Antoine, no one wants to play at his house.
I think you're projecting.
I'm home alone at my place.
No. I think it's more the... La fatigue.
Yeah.
The tiredness. The fatigue. And more than anything else right now.
Hobby fatigue is a real thing, man.
Oh, it's not hobby fatigue. It's physique fatigue right now. And lastly, I started working on Baron Celsius von Fahrenheit. That's, I think I already mentioned that model maybe in a previous show. I'm not sure. It's a friend of mine is doing a steampunk cosplay and he won a contest. And the prize was to be turned into a mini. So he had a mini sculpt based on his costume. And I've had the base done for over a year right now. But the model was always there on my table, like the little gouger. So he was on the table and I decided that it was time to clear the table. And I started this week. So it's probably a third of the way done. So I still have work to do on it. And it's really small. So it's, after doing works on Troll and Chibi model, going back to maybe 25 millimeter real scale stuff it's hard.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
Yeah.
Can compare him to the Black 13 for those who know.
Yeah, and I think he might be shorter. He's more 25 than 28.
Wow.
So,
because they're small. The Black 13 are small.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is I never actually, like, you've mentioned him several times, a couple times on the show, and a lot of times over the last couple years I've known you. I never caught the name.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I ever mentioned the name.
I love the name.
No, I think you actually have because it looks familiar, but I never actually listened to what it was, the Baron Celsius von Fahrenheit.
Yeah, and he has a giant box on his back and instruments and stuff like that, and I think it's supposed to be like a giant thermometer or something like that.
Oh,
so
okay.
It goes with the name and everything. Yeah.
Steampunk Weatherman.
That I'm not sure, but the name I know. And that's it for my hobby.
Steve, you're up.
Well, for a change, I painted more elves, but, and assembled elves, but this time it's, dark elves instead of, wood elves.
Fluff elves.
Fluff elves. Since now I can add dark elves to my wood elves list, so why not?
Yes, right, the eternity cheese list.
Yeah, exactly.
Fluff.
The fluff list. Eternity fluff list.
It looks fluffy on the table. You got the guys with the giant skulls. You got the guys who are wearing trees.
But,
and you have the guys whose noses are stuck up in the air. They're very, very well fitting together.
But with GW, you're fine because everything has skulls, so they all blend together with the skulls. So you're fine.
That's right. There's an element to tie them all together.
Exactly.
Tie them together.
The skull tie all the army together. So it's fine. And also for a change, though, I painted the Frost Arc Phoenix. And it's been a long time I painted the big model. And it was quite different and fun to paint better than the elves. And Paul is looking at me. He really wants me to start singing Let It Go, because I was showing it to my girls and they said, "Oh, you're painting something from Frozen." So I
heard you sing that song. I don't know how many times this week, every time we did a hangout and you were painting that thing.
Yeah, exactly. So Let It Go,
but
Let It Go.
I have to say he looks pretty good, Steve. I like him.
Thanks. But I spoke to Jan before we started recording, and I might do the underbelly a bit and a lighter tone to be more like the birds we see.
The real birds.
Real birds. But the rest is done. Yeah.
The only, I mean, I'm not Jan, so take it for what it's worth. The only thing I could see is that the color transition you have, it looks better in real life than it did over the camera, because over the camera I couldn't see any color difference. It looked like one thing. But it's not a lot of contrast.
Yeah.
I don't find. But it still works.
Good radio.
It depends on the light, I guess.
Well, good radio. We can put pictures up. Yeah, on a Facebook page, okay. We have a website. People don't care what your model looks like.
I know. We talk about it. And it's fine.
2015, man.
Well, actually, if people want to see it, I'll be at the tournament on the 21st in Gatineau, so people can see it in person.
Yeah, what really amazes me is the next thing in the show notes that you did.
What, failed at the tablescape mission?
No. You actually painted some other models.
What, the War Dancers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I started the unit of War Dancer.
Those aren't broken. Why would you paint those?
I know. I told you, I'm a fluff gamer.
There must be a trick, though. Did you find some sort of broken combo that we don't know about?
No. No, not really. Just because I needed a unit to hide a character. And since they're skirmish, they can move around and hide the character, and it can be mobile and support the rest of the army. So that's why I've put War Dancer. And they're actually, with some buff, they're decent in combat.
Yeah, if you get the right lore of magic. Yeah. And
so if you have a lore master, you're fine, because you have...
Well, especially now in end times where everyone's a lore master.
Exactly. No, but the lore master from the IL, so he helps the unit, but no, I tried it several couple of times, and I started to paint them because they made the cut. I'm gonna play them,
and that's, well, you also make some odd choices sometimes. Like you relish at trying to make the bad choices good choices. That's not your thing. Like, didn't you do the Tomb Kings? It was Tomb Kings last year. You took to Adepticon, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right, widely considered to be the worst army in 40K at the time.
And fantasy.
Especially in 40K.
Sorry, 40K.
In 40K, they
really suck.
They both suck.
So time, yeah. Actually, they'd probably do better in 40K than they do in fantasy.
Sorry, yes.
But, yeah, so, and you took my Adepticon and you placed pretty well.
Yeah, in the single, I placed, what was it, 17th or something like that out of 120 player. And I finished best Tomb King, and in the single event for the 3000 point with all the filth and everything, I managed to place high in the top quarter or something like that. So I'm fluff gamer. I told you guys, you don't believe me.
It's only because we know you, Steve.
I know. So, well, that's it for painting. And as I said briefly, last time I was on the show, I was telling how eager I was to paint the tablescape and everything. Well, during Christmas time, family happened, so I didn't have time to finish the table at all. I did a couple of tiles, like the brown base is done on most of the tile, but I didn't add details or anything at all.
So. You've got two kids, put them to work?
Yeah, I should. Especially the oldest one, she's old enough to make jeans for Gap, so she could paint.
if this was China, she'd be making models already.
Yeah, I know. Well, actually, she would be farming at some MMO, but... So before we derail too much,
yeah.
What about Yong?
Okay, I'm gonna go back to the holidays. Yeah, it's a bit cheating.
That's you always okay. Do that anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So because I did a push for me for my Axis units, I painted like 20 models, like five heroes and 3 units of 5 guys. Just in order to be able to play the Bloodcrow's Corps team, like fully painted infantry. So that was more like rushed painting. That was a little gift I was giving to myself before starting on the slower work of doing my Crystal Brush entries. In the past month so far, I have completed Lostalot Marcosias. Marcosias for Anima Tactics from Cypher Studio. Yes, Paul?
Sorry. I'm just laughing at the need to emphasize the name in some sort of cinematic crazy way.
All right.
It's okay. It's part of your charm, Yom. We love you for it.
I don't think you love me for that.
I totally love you for it. Maybe not when I'm editing the show, but right now I love you for it. It's all good.
I think you need to add a track with like reverb and sound effect when you edit when he says the name.
This is your job now. You have to add sound effect to that.
Add reverb.
But it won't make sense because they'll get it. Then they'll hear us talking about how I need to add reverb. So maybe I'll do it and add it on to the end of the show as like a an outtake.
Yeah.
Sorry, you didn't mean to interrupt.
And you did.
Well, you pointed out me laughing and that killed it.
Okay. One point, Marcus, yes, is on cobblestones based that I did using Epoxy Sculpt and the Api Seppuku resin stamps from Antoine. Here, who lent me that? It worked really well. So I did different like tests with different sort of textures and cobblestones and settled on that one. I took it. I think it would look great with that model. Like he's fighting a city or protecting a temple or something like that. The other one, from Cyborg Miniatures is, a generic nondescript demon blade in golden armored angelic warrior, which is in no way reminiscent of Sanguinius.
Affectionately referred to as Not Sanguinius.
Not Sanguinius. I always refer to him as Not Sanguinius because that's not Sanguinius. Of course, that's not Sanguinius. So, he's done.
And he looks gorgeous, by the way.
Yeah, and no listeners will know about that until a couple of weeks because apparently there's an etiquette going with Crystal Brush that you don't show like fully painted models. Because there's a part of the voting that is online with anyone can go in.
Public voting.
Yeah,
so you don't want to lose that wow factor, right?
Well, it's complicated. It's a part of that. Plus,
but you don't want to create an hype before.
Yeah, if you start your hype too soon, then people will just like steal you the hype at the end when they reveal the model at the very end. Also, I'm really small change. So I have not even 200 followers on Facebook, but other guys, they have like 5,000 or 8,000. So if we all start doing that, I'm lost. So when they vote, the name is not supposed to be associated to the model. So it's more fair like that. So,
right.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of politics in that show. But anyway, yes, I think it looks good. The client, because that's the only Crystal Brush entries will be for a client. All the other ones are for me. He's really happy. But like I said, listeners, they won't be able to see it for a good while, for a couple of weeks anyway.
At least a month.
It's
the end of March?
It's the end of March.
Yeah.
So. No, it's middle.
No. It's like the 22nd.
Oh, yeah.
So it's toward the end of March. So it's like 2 months.
Yeah. More painting time. Cool.
Yeah, I gotta, when I come back, I gotta paint all my stuff for Adepticon. Sorry.
So I want to bring a lot of stuff, like to fill a lot of categories. So that's the first two entries that are done. The next two ones, one is for the single sci-fi. It's Brando Castro for Infinity by Corvus Belli. In Infinity, in the Nomads, the faction I play, they're from Bakunin, and from Bakunin, they're pretty weird people. They will have a lot of implant and like, I don't know, like skin body change, body modifications. So he had several body modifications like that to resemble like the Monkey King, the Chinese, I don't know, mythic.
Legend,
whatever.
So it's kind of like in Hollywood when plastic surgery goes bad, or?
Well, he has like his feet replaced by prosthetic hands, like a mechanic, robotic hands. He also have a monkey tail and ears, and he's jumping everywhere. And everything. But it's a really, really dynamic figure, miniature. So I think it looks good. There's a possibility of a good paint job on him. And the other project I'm working on is the Shibi Yom from Captain Spud, the one he made for me. So you would be entered as Shibi.
And he looks pretty awesome too. Is he done? The pictures
you No.
Okay.
Still lots of work to do, but
all the basis is there. Like yeah, all the
so far so good from what I saw.
I think he would look really good this one.
So are you at the detailing stage now? Because it seems like no. All the Really?
Okay. The skin is not done at all. The metallics are not even started.
Okay, that's because like things like the glasses and stuff look like they're done.
Oh no.
Okay.
It's just like base color.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, it would look even better than that, Paul.
I have no doubt. I mean,
that's why you're your master.
Exactly. Yeah. But on top of that, this model is really fun to paint.
Because it's you.
Yeah, it's actually because it's me.
That, but it's a Shibi too.
It's a Shibi.
They're
Shibi
so fun to paint.
Yes. Shibi are fun to paint, and you know that.
Oh, yeah.
But
I should probably try some at some point. I've got like 40 of them or something.
We're not joking. It's really something different to paint.
Yeah.
Different than like 40 little war machines.
I've been kind of intimidated by them, to be honest. Because the paint style is not something I normally do.
That's why it's fun, also. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, but it's also more challenging. And I have a hard time with, like we've talked about before, I have a hard time with colors and stuff, so I just worry I end up with a bunch of, like, really flat looking, you know, 25 shades of brown armored chibis. Because they're all fantasy chibis I have, right? That and the flesh tones, I don't do blending, right? So to get a flesh tone that looks good, that doesn't look like a flat pink surface. I don't really know how to do that. And then but the eyes are.
You're the airbrush master.
Yeah.
I mean, heads are big enough for you.
I'd have to airbrush everything. Yeah.
Yeah. You can do that.
You're painting 10 millimeter scale infantry with your airbrush.
So I think you can manage a chibi model with the airbrush.
Okay. Clearly.
Maybe I'll try one for fun.
I can't, but you can. last project is, will go well. Last project for now that I'm working on, and I'm just really starting. I cleaned the model and everything and working on like the base, getting the materials. It's a great unclean one from Forge World. Even if that model is like super popular, but this time it's my turn to paint one.
I was trying to figure out in the notes what a Guo was.
A Guo.
Like, what's a Guo?
Get used to that.
Because he abbreviated it G-U-O in the notes, right? So I'm like, G-U-O, what game is that from? I Googled it.
Like, no?
No. I was like, what is this?
Probably Google will pick up some picture of the Great Unclean One from Forge World with that Antoine is looking. I'm sure it's going to pick it up.
Like, on forums, people will refer to it as the Guo.
I mean, I didn't spend hours looking. I did something quick to see if it... And I was like, I don't see anything.
Anyway, there's like a thousand examples of that model painted online already.
And well, it's like super popular. It's
one pops every week. So at some point, it would be my turn to like put my mine on the web.
And we saw something recently, right? We saw, so you have someone to compare to.
Yeah. It's the one from Awoken Realms, right? a weekend Rams put one this week. And you you go mad from Ichiban put one the week prior to that.
Yeah, I didn't see the Awakened Realms one.
Okay.
And wasn't there another Nurgle big guy from
Max Dubois?
Max Dubois?
Yeah.
Also.
So they're
popping up everywhere.
So you're late to the party, right?
And that's not that's from the people that I follow. Yeah. There's a lot of them popping up on the web. That's crazy. Yeah, but that's it for my work so far.
So, Paul, any game? You already mentioned some, so go more in detail.
Yeah, so I actually played a few different games. So a couple weeks back, myself and a couple friends of mine, JS and Chris, wanted to play some board games. So we get together for an afternoon, and we tried a couple different things. We played a game of Cosmic Encounters, which I'd never played before, which is a space conquest game, super simple rules. It's something you can teach someone in 5 minutes. It was a lot of fun. I won. That makes it even more fun. there was some angry talk during the game. Apparently I'm a bit of a jerk, who knew? And then, Yohm knew. He's got his hands up there like, ooh, I knew. So then we decided to move on to something allows you to be even more jerky. We played Boss Monster, which is, I don't know, is it kind of like a tableau building card game? Is that how you describe it? It is that you're basically
a dungeon building.
Yeah, you're basically you play a boss monster in a dungeon, and it's all the cards are done in 8-bit graphics, and the bosses are all kind of reminiscent of Nintendo game bosses. Like there's a giant brain thing which really looks like the giant brain from Metroid. There's stuff that looks like it's out of Final Fantasy, and you have room cards, and you're building rooms to try to lure, and each room has treasure, and you're trying to use the treasure to lure adventurers to your dungeon so you can kill them and collect their souls. But of course, the adventurers are trying to kill you because you're the boss at the end of the dungeon. You can play cards that interact with your opponent's dungeons to basically make things harder on them. And as you kill heroes, eventually they get upgraded to like the, they're not called superheroes, but they're...
Yeah, at a certain level, they level up.
Yeah, there's like...
They become epic or something.
Yeah, like epic that. Heroes or whatever. And they have magic items and stuff. I mean, the game is super cheap. Yeah. I think with the expansion, it's like you can find it for like $25.
Something like that, yeah.
And it plays up to 4 people. And it's a beer and pretzels game. It's a lot of fun. I think kind of like Munchkin, but without the potential to go on for 18 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of fun. I didn't win that one, but I gave it a good try. So that was a lot of fun. And then this week, I've been playing... Drop Zone Commander. And I had my first demo game, because the tournament next week, I figured I'd probably need a demo game so I know what I'm doing. And it was a refresher for Dan, who hadn't played in a while. And he played a lot of the game, and he didn't realize how rusty he was until we started playing, and he was like, I don't remember this. I don't remember. And the thing is, when he started playing, he was playing version 1 of the rules, so they've been replaced or updated. So it's trying to figure out what's changed, what hasn't changed, and so he's prepped for the tournament. So it went okay. I won the first game I played. That made me feel pretty good about it. And then we had a rematch last night. And I lost, but not by much. It was close. The only problem being that these games started late and finished even later. So on a work night when you're starting at 11:30 at night and running till 2:30 in the morning, and then you have to get home and get undressed and do whatever, go to bed at 4, get up at 7... It makes it tough. But all that to say, a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the game. I'm kind of annoyed that I didn't try it sooner since I've had the models for like 2 years. But well put together. And next time I see Dave and Simon from Hawk, I'll have to pat them on the back and say job well done. Yeah, so that was it. Good game. A lot of fun. Dan's a great opponent because it's very chillax. And yeah, looking forward to the tournament next week. Antoine, what about you? Any games?
I didn't play anything in the last 2 weeks up to tonight. So you were running a bit late. So I tried to start a Relics demo for Steve. So at least we can mention Relics in the episode.
Yeah, exactly.
There's so the Relic plug for the episode.
Just explained the rule quickly, and we had the time to do a single turn. So it wasn't a lot. And after that, we had to clean up the table to make space for the recording equipment. But that's the only thing I was able to do because I've been doing stuff at home because we're doing the room for the new baby coming in March. So I did mostly painting and stuff like that.
You know, she won't really have any memories of anything for the first couple of years, so if the room's not painted, no one will know. If you don't tell her, she'll never know.
She'll never know. My wife will. Uh-huh. My wife work in design, so it has to be done right and in time.
My wife can never meet your wife.
So that's the only thing I was able to put. And also her pregnancy is going well, but she has more pain and stuff like that. So I get out of the house less, which explains why I was able to paint as much as I did in the last 2 weeks. But because of that, I don't play as much.
See, it all comes down to the sad face before.
Yeah. See, right.
Everything comes around.
It all comes back to that.
Yeah, exactly.
So true.
This is so sad.
It's just sad.
And yet, it's
more.
Sad
moment. I'm happy.
It's a sad
That's
moment,
fine.
And yet we're all laughing.
Well, it's okay, because I think Antoine's organizing a TwanCon, right?
AntoineCon.
Okay, you're looking at me all strangely now. I thought... Sorry, folks.
For next week?
Yeah, you're aren't you having a game day at your house?
I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't know yet.
Okay, well.
Still, again, the pregnancy thing and everything. So.
The pregnancy thing.
Yeah. That.
All husbands sound the same. It's good to know I'm not the only one that sounded like that.
But I already bought my tickets for the AntoineCon, so I hope it happens.
Yeah, because I plan to. I was looking forward to. We're not going to. Yom and I are not going to TempleCon this year. It's the first time I miss it in 6 years, something like that. And there's a huge War Machine Crown that's going. So for the people who can go to TempleCon, they're doing a local tournament. The One Left Behind, they're calling it.
Nice.
So people can
good name.
Play. So it's mostly non-top players.
Yeah, so not the super competitive guys.
Yeah, there are some still that stay here, and I was looking forward to taking part in that. And the timing doesn't work. I forgot the Theo's swimming lessons and everything. So I was doing list up to remembering the swimming lessons, and doesn't work. So I shifted to something else, and even that something else might not work. So. I might have gaming in 2 weeks and for next episode, and I might not. We'll see. So, Steve, played anything?
Oh, I feel bad. I played.
Oh, that's fine. I played it. So I'm fine. As long as I do any hobby stuff, being painting or gaming, that's fine. If I wasn't able to do any of that, then I would be sad.
So, gaming on my part, I started the demo of Relic. Before the show, just put emphasis on Relic. So,
seriously, folks, we're not paid by Tor Gaming. It just seems that way.
No, maybe one day.
I wish we would. We were.
He can pay us in miniatures.
Yes. Just save on the shipping. Shipping from UK is so bad.
But, for real game, I played seven game of Warhammer Fantasy so far this year, and so far so good. Let me. Knock on wood, and I haven't lost a game yet this year, so.
Fluff.
Because
I would say I challenge you, but I know better.
Dead power. Fluff.
Well, it's okay, you're gonna cascade your wizard on second turn, and it's gonna be game over.
That game scarred me, man. Nothing went right. How many attacks did those skull crushers do? And they died horribly?
It was
18 attacks?
Yeah, something. Yeah, 18 attacks and no wounds. One wound.
He's blessed by the gods of fantasy, that way.
Yeah.
And now that you have the Eternity King list on top of his...
He's now unstoppable.
Yeah.
And skills, that's terrible.
But this is going to end at Adepticon because I decided I'm going to switch. I tried to do an army per year, and I'm going to switch to another fluffy army after... I'm going to switch to Skaven probably after Adepticon.
Oh, it reminds me, I've got your Storm Fiends. In
okay.
The
So that's it for gaming. And I'm going to play more games probably tomorrow as well. More fantasy for my part. And that's it.
Great. For me, the only gaming so far, Star Guillaume from Gamer's Vault, as you called him.
He needs a codename. Star Guillaume, this sounds so lame.
Then called him Staff Guillaume.
Staff Guillaume.
I don't know if it's read better.
Or Slave Guillaume.
Oh, wait. 80% G. You've never heard him called that? No. So he has this thing where he starts projects and only gets about 80% done before he moves on to the next project. So the people at the store, the staff, call him 80% G. So I think that's what we need to call him in the show.
Can it close? Okay, so 80% G. He built a custom campaign from Fort Dust Battlefield. I mean, he really put up that campaign. We built the scenarios, the special rules. And pretty much we're beta testing this campaign. So it's a 6-week thing. We're halfway through. I have 2 games played so far. It's divided in between the 3 blocks. So I will not play against another Axis player. And, this week I was trying to get a 3rd game into, which since it was the 3rd week, but all the SSU and, the allied players, I mean, they just scatter off in the shadows. I don't know. Nobody was available, so.
Yeah, I was actually at the
campaign. You know how they happen.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the store for Minis Night on Thursday, and there was one pair of people playing War Machine, and Dan and I playing Drop Zone, and that was it. So apparently it was a dead week for miniature wargaming in Montreal. Yes.
So we meet normally on Wednesdays, but, I ask for a game because I'm not showing up if I don't have a confirmed opponent.
Well, for sure.
Nobody answered that. The only guys that answered couldn't, so okay. We'll skip that one. But anyway, Guillaume, 80% G, did a really good job of putting that thing together. And he built a lot of fluff also.
Well, he's super enthusiastic when he gets into stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
He's really like a project champion for Dust.
Yeah.
So, he wants us to give him like a lot of feedback for every scenario. And at the end, we'll put that all together and probably build like 80% of a clean PDF to give to the Dust community. Maybe we'll help him to complete the project, but it's a really cool project.
Well, the thing is, Guillaume tends to like any game that's got a very, very solid fluff background.
Yeah.
So he likes Malifaux. He liked 40K with the orcs and stuff. So he used to play. Before he decided he hated GW to the point where he can't take it anymore. And the same with Dust. Dust really had a super rich background and super rich world. And he also has a kind of a historical, penchant, right?
Oh, yes,
so,
yes.
So it blends with a passion he had, and it's a well-developed world, and the game plays well, right?
And mix them up all together. He's a historical buff.
Yeah.
And he likes the fluff of Dust. And there's a lot of fluff for Dust for such a small game. I mean, it's still a small game.
Community-wise, yes. It's
but
small
like there are comic books like on Dust. So there's a lot of fluff going on for it. So.
And it's a well-established, like it's a well-developed story.
Yeah. It's really, you can get into the background and the characters. They had lots of, character. The special characters, they are really much complete. They feel real, like, there's a lot of, they're fluffy. But that the end. Only 2 games so far this year, so not as good as Steve. But,
did you win both of them?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
It's okay.
With my fully painted blood cross corpse. But so all zombies and apes and craziness happening.
Freaking apes.
Lasers. Oh yeah, every game, and those apes, every game.
Hate them so much.
Okay.
So is that it?
Yes, on that note, on that hate note, yes, that's it.
You know, I don't endorse racism unless it's a hate of apes. Anyway, alright, so why don't we take a break and then we'll come back and we'll discuss upcoming events. Be right back, geeks. Get the boucher, mon frère, il fait noir, je vois plus clair. And we're back. Upcoming events. TempleCon, February 5th to the 8th in Warwick, Rhode Island. Big gaming event. Several thousand people. Lots of fun. Probably going to be coming out the day after... Coming out. Probably going to be starting the day after this show launches. But, you know, if you're in the area, check it out. Special mention to Dan from Gamers Vault running the Drop Zone Commander tournament there. 1,000 points. I think there's plenty of spots left. So if you feel like bringing some Drop Zone Commander down to Warwick, show up.
Next event, Norton Defender Open 7, March 7 and 8. The Fantasy tournament still have 2 places left. The 40k and War Machine ones have a bunch more, so you can still register. And also at the same time, there is the Norton Defender painting contest run by Mathieu Fontaine, which we already mentioned a lot. And you can learn more by listening to episode 6, if I remember correctly. That's it. Next one is Kanhammer Team Tournament, April 18 and 19. It's an ETC-style team event. We'll put the link to the website where more info is coming out every day.
Oh, sorry, guys.
I can continue.
No. Funny story, guys. Antoine and I discussed how we're going to do this. He's like, oh, we'll alternate. But I thought he meant alternate between the 4 of us, not just the 2 of us. So that's why I'm confused. So, okay. So next, Crèvemont-Salle Mega 40K on the 28th of March in Montreal. The event pack is out, and it's 165 per 4-player team.
Yep.
So I don't know if you folks remember, we had the Crèvemont-Salle people
for the Fantasy
on
Fest.
On the episode for Fantasy Fest discussing it. So it's a great event, casual, lots of fun. Check it out.
Their 40k one is a bit more competitive than the Fantasy one. So you can bring your game.
It's
not A game, because some people might not take it well. It's a casual event.
Yeah.
But
it's just funny that they take their 40k more seriously, because it's the less competitive, really truly competitive game, but they take it more seriously. It's funny stuff. Oh, I'll probably get some hate for saying that about 40k.
And the last event I'll take it out. It's gonna be the Green Mountain Boys probably are gonna run GT in Burlington. Well, it's their gaming group name. It's the Green Mountain Boys.
Yeah, no, it was the probably.
It probably happened. Because I know it's, DGMB. Yeah, the Green Mountain Boys. Yeah, and Quarterstaff Game are going to run a GT in Burlington, Vermont. The date is July 18 and 19. The venue is set, but it's not known for the public yet. And there's going to be a website soon that's going to be up for registration and everything. It's going to be a singles event, and it's going to use a ETC comp for building your armies.
Excellent. So if you want to go down there and beat Steve, Steve will be there.
Yeah.
I'll probably be there cheering Steve on or gluing his models together as they break. But
and drinking Magic Hat.
And drinking Magic Hat. That's true. That's
true. Nice South Burlington beer.
And that event's being run by John Chastney, right?
Yeah. With his group.
I wasn't sure if he was part of the Green Mountain Boys.
Yeah, okay. He's part of the Green Mountain
Boys. Because I know his name, because he's been on a couple podcasts. Like, and also, I know he talks to you, and he says he listens to the show.
He was at Chaos Lydic, too.
He was at Chaos Lydic, and in the Open as well.
Right. Because I think I spoke to him briefly.
Yeah, and we can do a brief shout-out to John, who's probably skiing right now while listening to the podcast.
I wish I was skiing right now listening to the podcast.
So no matter when you listen to the podcast.
Yeah, he's going to be skiing.
Well, he lives in Vermont, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's all they do is ski and make maple syrup.
We do better maple syrup, though.
Yeah.
Well, that's because we drink and make maple syrup. We have our priorities straight. And I think that wraps up our events. And man, are we derailing bad tonight. Sorry, folks. This is probably going to be the worst episode ever. But you may get a laugh or two along the way. And that takes us into news. So, we'll talk about our picks. My picks. Games and Gears finally announced that maybe their product is coming. Maybe. Someday soon. Well, so it started off 2 days ago. I got an email saying, hey guys, our Hawk War Games Urban Battle Boards are probably almost here. And I was like, okay, that's good. It's good. And, you know, the Drop Zone Commander boards that were the first ones we promised, those are coming soon. Okay. And then today I got an email that basically, like, repeated everything that ever happened to those boards, like how the factory flooded, you know, and it didn't really give us any more info. It was just Sam spinning his wheels. I love the man, but it's kind of sad at this point. I think he's about a year delay. And again, not his fault. Factory floods, stuff happens. He is being communicative, at least. But I think it's at the point where people are getting a little frustrated and he doesn't have much to say because, you know, stuff's on the water. It's in a container on a ship. I mean, what can he do? Mm-hmm. But,
well, he could give you the tracking number and you can live track the boat.
Some companies do that.
Actually, Secret Weapon did it for Tablescape. One of the update was the two tracking number with the two boats. And so.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Remember you sent that to me because I wasn't getting the updates.
So you could follow the boat while it was going on the ocean.
I mean, I'm really looking forward to, I mean, that's the other thing, like his emails today contained pictures of the boards, but it was the same pictures we saw like forever ago. And there's pictures from like Gen Con of last year. Like he's trying to give us something, you know, I get that. I'll be happy when the boards arrive. I mean, you know, he's going to deliver. And also I know he's got, he had some cool new terrain, and they have a side thing going on with it. I can't remember what it's mm-hmm. called, but they produced some terrain. And he's going to have a limited edition piece at Adepticon, I think. I don't know if it's limited edition, but he always gets a release at Adepticon. It's some sort of shield generator tower thing, which looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
It's on the Adepticon main page. There's a link to it there. So I'll probably, I'll probably have to pick up one of those.
Yeah, it's going to be available there only or something like that. Yeah.
Twist my rubber arm.
Yeah.
I'll have to because, you know.
Is it going to be as big as the...
It looks bigger.
Yeah.
It's taller. It's narrower, really, but it's tall. Because it's like multi-level floors.
I think it's three level or something that. Yeah.
That was already a pain to bring back.
Yeah. So you added it in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. They gave a huge discount to be able to not ship them back.
Because they didn't sell as many as they thought. So I've got like the Gen Con limited edition one, which basically just has a sign up front that says Gen Con. It's the only difference. I think I paid $40 for it. It's a brick of resin bigger than the mixing board here. It's crazy. Yeah,
Steve Hypan has a smaller footprint than the hen.
Yeah, I saw it.
Wow. Yeah. It's removable roof and two levels with like...
Full of resin.
It's all yellow armor cast resin, like the old, stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd probably get cancer looking at it, but it's okay because it's an awesome model. I'm sorry, Sam, if you listen to the show. Other news. Harlequins are back.
Yay!
So for all us old 40K guys, you remember the Death Jesters and
the clowns.
Harlequin jet bikes and all these things? Well, the jet bikes aren't back yet, but maybe someday.
They will. They will.
Hopefully they will.
Probably because GW will make them gross and sell us tons of models.
They're back, but I mean, they are here. And they never had their own codex.
That's true. They were just, I think they had a white dwarf, like, supplement for, like, third or fourth ed. And before that, they were a second edition thing, right? They're like an offshoot of they're in the basic army book at the time. The models look cool. The posing bothers me a little bit. I don't necessarily like the posing. They are very dynamic. The details are good. The only problem I have with the models is that I look at them and I see the models from 20 years ago. Better sculpted, you know, but the style still looks like it did with the checkered pants and the stuff. And I never really cared for it. And I thought, well, now they could refresh it. They could make it different. They could do something. And they basically just gave us what we already knew, which, you know, for the Harlequin fans makes sense. They'll get what they want out of it.
But they're plastic. So.
Oh yeah. No. And the models are really nice. I'm not trying to take that away from them. The aesthetic never appealed to me that much. And seeing a refreshed look of that old aesthetic, I kind of feel like they missed an opportunity there to make them different somehow.
But they release a new kind of Harlequin as well, the Solitaire.
That's not new.
It's not new. It looks...
No. Well, it's a new model.
Yeah, it's a new model.
But, I mean, Solitaire has existed before.
Yeah, but they released a new model, and it's really nice. It's floating on the rock almost. Like, he's not touching the ground at all.
I think if you look at the...
360?
No, what's this regular Harlequin squad called? Not Death Jesters.
Troop?
Harlequin Troop? Yeah, the Harlequin Troop. All of them look like they're jumping off rocks or leaping through the air because they're all supposed to be acrobatic.
Exactly.
So they really did a great job with the dynamic posing of the models. Yeah, maybe I'm just not enough of a hardcore Eldar player to really appreciate it.
Oh, I think the same.
But I'm happy they're back. They're an important part of the fluff. like for the Eldar, yeah. And they were there.
I started for the kid in second edition with the Eldar, so I had Arlequin, so I have a soft spot for them. Yeah, I remember how much damage they could do in second edition.
Well, I would suspect that they're gonna get gross write ups because GW is gonna want to sell models, and they're gonna sell us one of those $10, $15, $20 digital codexy things, whatever they're called, the data slates.
Yeah,
and everyone's gonna need them because it's gonna be the new filth. So it's like they know us. Yes, that's it for my news picks. Okay. Antoine, what do you got?
Kromlik just released a Goblin Pirates crew.
You have a thing for pirates, I've noticed.
For goblins pirates.
Well, especially goblin pirates, but pirates all the same, I think.
I already have 3 or 4 different goblin pirate crew from 3 or 4 different companies. And I might get them too. Someday.
There's gotta be, we gotta do something with them.
Oh, I have a plan for it.
Maybe that new skirmish 9th edition Warhammer game when it comes out that everyone's dreading.
No, I have an idea. I have scenario plan for it, and to do a competing goblin pirate crew coming in a harbor and trying to steal stuff at the same time and killing each other while fighting the sailors and guards on the place.
It sounds like you put a lot of thought into this.
Oh yes,
we'll have to discuss it at some point.
I have sketches of the map and stuff like that. So for the board. Or a scenario board for events and cons and stuff like that. So they look really nice. We'll have a link in the show notes to see them. Next thing is Ninja Division and Soda Pop Miniature are releasing previews, but only illustration previews and fluff previews for Ninja All-Star, which will be their next board game. You do small crew of ninjas, all chibi ninjas, competing in tournament style events. And it looks cool. There's not a lot of info out, but it will be miniature based and they will be fully assembled plastic, alas, so the Super Dungeon Explorer. So I can't wait to hear more about it.
Will they have details?
The Super Dungeon Explorer stuff has details.
That's true. That's true.
Really? The CB are okay. So.
I'm looking at the artwork now. I'm sold. Sign me up.
Yeah.
Is this going to be a Kickstarter? Or is this
We don't even know. Properly. It's supposed to be out end of this year.
Take my money.
That's the press release. They got out last year at Gen Con. Announced it Q4 for 2015.
Yeah, so I'm looking
if
at this.
Q4, it's not a Kickstarter.
The artwork looks awesome.
Oh yes.
Just a few little like pictures they've got. I'm pretty sold.
Yeah, it's in beta testing right now, so it's supposed to be going well. And lastly, Pulp City, they started shipping stuff to their US distributor, which is one of the member works in the States, and he just received the stuff for TempleCon. So he'll have the books, the cards, and some of the, not all the miniatures, it will be another shipment. But so it's coming to the backers in a week or 2, they start shipping to backers.
Will they be selling at TempleCon?
They won't be selling, but if backers, go to TempleCon, they'll be able to pick up, what's there.
Okay.
So they already said, they asked to send an email to one of the crew member to be able to notify him so he can bring the required material. And he'll be doing demos.
Okay, also. So I'll definitely try that to try out the game because I've been interested in that for a couple of years now.
Oh yeah,
and I know you backed the Kickstarter, so
yes, have the book and the cards coming.
I don't know if you can arrange them to ship it to TempleCon. I'll pick it up for you.
I asked it, but I didn't get an email back. But they are probably swamped right now, also. So
maybe send them another email just to check. You know,
I don't mind. I'll get it maybe 2 weeks after. So at worst. So
yeah, but I can read your book while I'm at TempleCon.
Yeah, that's true. You have a
think of me. Think of me, Antoine.
I can give you the PDF. The rules part is available in PDF, and I can give that to you.
Not fair enough. I can read it off my iPad on the way down.
Yeah,
I got 6 hours of nothing to do since I'm not driving.
This will take your mind off Dan's driving.
No, but it's fun. No, it's fun to make fun of Dan.
Okay. Yeah,
it's not sure. Just you. I make fun of all my friends. It's kind of how I show affection.
He doesn't like me.
I don't have
that was what I was saying. He doesn't like me either.
Don't make fun of Antoine. You're always picking on me. I'm the scapegoat.
It's like in the family. Some people are easier to tease.
Some people are weak.
They react more. So you're like the reactive kid in the family.
Yeah, I'm the short-term guy.
And that's it for my picks. So
poor Yom. You're the special kid.
Special need kid.
Now. God.
Well, he's really dead.
This try guy's fun. It's getting pretty bad.
I wouldn't make fun of him if he was special needs. That'd be mean.
I know.
I'm not that bad. You're up.
Yeah. Okay. So, for my news,
are we off the rails today? Okay.
I have two Kickstarter. I have the Mears miniature Bane Lord Bane Beast Kickstarter. They're most of the miniature they're releasing is alternate pieces for existing miniature, like their War Demon, not Bloodthirster model, Keeper of Secret model.
The not Bloodthirster with two axes. That's pretty cool. The alternate bits they're selling.
Yeah. And there's a kind of not tranquil, rat thingy. Orc on the Warlord.
I could totally see an orc riding another orc into battle and making it work.
There's going to be a Nurgle demon kind of thing with a sight as well. And dragon as well.
He's kind of different, too, because the Nurgle guy doesn't look like the traditional Nurgle-type demon.
Yeah. He has an eye instead of an open wound for the guts.
That big eye. And,
but he's also not, like, all fat and stuff, right? He looks more menacing, I think.
Yeah.
He's more fit.
As opposed to...
He looks sick instead of fat.
Hmm?
He looks sick instead of fat.
Yeah, like, he looks, you know, less like me and more like maybe Yom or something, you know, like, slightly less round. Slightly more in shape, paler. More imposing, paler. Yeah.
There's a dragon as well, but that's the only model I don't really like from that Kickstarter. The model, it looks like he's drunk, actually.
It's the Elfon Dragon Lord?
Yeah.
I couldn't get the picture to load.
That's kind of a fail, because like when they released the End Times Malekith, they didn't release a model for Malekith, and everybody was waiting for that. And now Mears is offering one, but the dragon looks weird, like drunk or dancing.
Yeah. So he's not that good. And, well, for my taste.
But the Nutkeeper of Secrets.
Yeah.
Nutkeeper of Secrets is pretty cool.
The Pleasure Demon, I think it's called, or something?
Yes. Yeah. In the end, they're releasing all the fantasy stuff that doesn't fit into their game line.
The
Bane Beast.
Bane Beast is all the stuff that doesn't fit into their low fantasy.
Bane Legion.
Darklands.
Like Darklands.
Darklands, the name of the game.
Yep.
Yeah, because Darklands is kind of low fantasy.
And it's historical based.
And historical based, so anything that doesn't fit into that,
yeah.
They're releasing on this other line.
Yeah.
And the other bit of news I have is the Conan Kickstarter. And so, since I sang one time in this show.
Yeah, no, your limit is done.
I'm done. So my quota is gone. So I cannot sing the Conan the Adventurer theme song for you, but just Google it and while I read the news to you, so you'll feel more inclined to participate in the Kickstarter.
Wow.
That Kickstarter is happening. They exploded their goal in like 7 minutes.
Yeah.
It's the big thing going on right now.
Yeah, it looks amazing. The miniature are really good. You can get Valeria as a add-on. And only thing it's missing, I don't remember, but it's missing Subatai from the movie, I think. But
yeah, my friend's actually backing that Kickstarter, and he's taking all the add-on packs. So I don't know how much he's invested at this point. It's a small fortune. And he's like, I have to start practicing, like, to learn how to paint so that I can paint all this stuff when it comes in.
There's loads of stuff.
Talk about starting small, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Just the like the middle pledge, you get lots and lots of stuff and lots of miniature with the board and everything. It looks really good. And so you, at this day, you have 11 days to participate, but
you'll have about a week left when the podcast will get out.
So it's going to be in the last mile of running. So
just going back to what you're saying about the mirrors thing, I'm looking at the picture of the dragon now.
The tipsy dragon?
Yeah, it's weird. So the model, the rider looks awesome. The dragon looks good until you get to like everything lower than his like waist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where it looks like he's, I see what they're trying to do. He's trying to like, he's maybe leaping up into the air or coming down. So he's got this weird kind of half floating pose, but it looks like he's stumbling.
Looks like a lizard running on in his hand legs.
Yeah, like what are those lizards that do that?
They're not the gecko.
Gecko?
Is it a gecko? Yeah. The geckos? Yeah. He looks kind of like the gecko, like racing across the
water,
the plains or the water, yeah, whatever. It's weird. They do some really nice stuff. So yeah. I guess no company can have hits all the time.
They're trying to make it fit on the 50-millimeter base, so they probably add a challenge with that.
Why would they want to do that?
I don't know.
There's no reason for that.
Their chimera.
Orcs. Their orcs look really good.
Their chimera is just awesome.
Yeah, it's an awesome model. Was that
from the previous Kickstarter?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it's playable in the Darkland games.
It looks really good.
Yeah. And they tease it on Twitter that they're going to update the heads and the tail. And it should be unlockable in that Kickstarter as well.
But I don't know if that's going to come up in this Kickstarter, because it doesn't seem to be doing as well as the other Kickstarters.
I think so. It's slower than
It's past. It's got 9 days to go. Their goal was 5,000 pounds, and they've got 16,000 pounds, which is great. But if you look at their last Kickstarter, they did 150,000 pounds.
Yeah, it's getting slower.
Yeah.
So, well, that's it for my news. What about you, Jan?
I don't know. We're just talking about the Monte Carlo, the Roman Lapin. Roman Lapin? Huh? The
painter? Yeah, one of the
he's
German
painting,
guy.
Yeah, he's painting one right now. So it's, so just a whip, but it's already better than the most thing you see there. Crazy guy. Okay, my turn. Forgotten Ring, Kings, Forgotten Kings, Super Ninja Explorer Kickstarter, they announced that the base game boxes are leaving China. Whoa! So they're in the same week that this field will be released, so yeah. So it's coming, people.
Maybe they shared a container with Games and Gears.
I hope not.
So it's like a living game of Battleship or a container ship. You're gonna sing the Games and Gear one, no.
But that's actually
that's Battleship.
Oh, you completely made me lose my train of thought. I was gonna say that that delivered pretty much on time, though, right?
They were calling for December, so they'll have maybe 2 months.
That's not bad for production out of China.
The rest, the base game will be delivered with all the add-ins that were included in the base game. But the extra stuff, like the extra warbands you could order, they will be coming in after Chinese New Year, because they were not able to finish production before.
And everything shuts down in China for New Year. Mm.
So all the rest will come. They have a monster box that they did only for the Kickstarter stuff, and it will be coming after in a second shipping wave.
Makes sense. Okay.
And lastly,
but not least.
Antoine here is launching his own painting commission service. So, where can we reach you, Antoine?
On Twitter, mostly. At @AntonioBerg. If you want to reach me, that's about the only thing I have right now. I haven't done any website, or I'm posting on local forums, but that's about it.
They can also ping you through the Geeks of the North email.
Yes. Yes, they could.
Or our Facebook. I mean, I don't mind sharing that with your new endeavor while you're getting set up?
Right now, it's more of a side thing. We have a project with Yom and other other local painters to do a group studio. So I'm working on that because I don't have any commission. I'm open to commission, but I don't have any right now. So I'm working on the studio stuff while the other guy make money and paint.
Yeah, I remember I was trying to get in on that as like I'll do the schlep work that no one else wants to do.
Yeah.
But so, anyway, Antoine got some free time and you already know how well he paints. So don't hesitate.
If people
also, want, you not only do miniatures.
No, that's true. I do some small boards or if you need a display tray for an army or stuff like that, that's the kind of thing I could do. I don't take big projects because my time is limited, but I can take like display, but not a full gaming table.
Couldn't do so a that display far. Board for an army, yeah. or a small 2x2 board for a game
like I did for Endless Fantasy or yeah. Brushfire. And for the painting side, I only do eye level. Well, for my painting skills, eye level or display level. I won't do army wide painting. So I'll take small projects like units, but like not a fantasy of 40 or small.
So I can't commission you to paint my night goblins or
or my skaven.
A warlord maybe, but not the unit that goes with it.
I can get an Antoine original.
Oh, you could do it, but one by one.
Take 10 years.
I won't take 40 at a time, but I could paint like a command or something like that. Or like War Machine units are limited to mostly 10 models. So that's about my max for at a time.
So 120 slave for my Skaven project is a big no-no?
It's a no-go.
Well,
no-go.
Depends which year you need it.
And there's plenty of commission
painters. The price go also with the level, and I'm only doing eye level. So if you want eye level
slave
orcs, it's your choice.
No, it's good though. It's good to see you do that because you know your level's very, very good. So it's nice to see you do something with it. Because we've all kind of talked about. Well, I know Yom and I have talked about how we thought it was odd that you didn't do commission work.
Well, it's a time question, but it's a time question and a speed question. But in the last 2 years,
your speed's improved dramatically. Speed
a lot, so I think I'm able to do it now. I did commission like 10, 15 years ago when my speed was a problem. So I stopped doing it. But now my speed has improved and I do terrain too. I do sculpting. Like the Zonian Guillaume painted for me. That's something I sculpted and casted. So I can do custom work for conversion too. Like in my portfolio, small portfolio on the forum. I have a modified extreme mold for the Trollbloods or a converted virus and stuff like that.
You resculpted like half of his club and like the fingers and there's all kinds.
Most of the back and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or I did a custom virus because for the retribution of Syra for War Machine, the virus model is a bit small. It looked like a head shorter than most of the troopers.
Okay.
I didn't like that, so I went from one of the officer and resculpted all the main body.
I guess that was before we started really hanging out, because I don't remember ever seeing that.
I'll show you pictures.
Because you don't have a... Oh, you did have a Retribution Army, didn't you?
Yeah, that's the only model I still have.
It looks better than a real one.
Cool.
Emo.
In my humble opinion.
Oh, okay.
Not emo.
I was like, emo, I don't... Wearing next thing you know, you're going to be like, lol.
Rolf.
Ruffle.
No, that I couldn't do.
Okay, so, yeah, awesome. Okay, anything else?
So far, he's a better plug than me. So.
But to
you'll have your time
who want that. Something painted, the idea we're working on is not to do a full studio like Blue Table Painting or something like that. We'll do like an entry page. And people who want a commission done, they can contact the studio and we'll just, between the different painters, we want to be like Yon, myself, Paul maybe, depending on the level or the availability.
I pity the person that gets me.
We'll transfer you to the right person for what you want to do. So it's the idea. So you'll have crazy high level painter. You'll have, army.
And you'll have Paul.
Well, but you work really fast.
Yeah.
And you have a really good result for the time you put on.
So it's more like an alliance of painters. Yeah. And the studio is like the entry door, it's like the dispatch.
Right. Yeah. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
you know, specific jobs for specific people's talents.
Exactly.
Nope, makes perfect sense.
We'll probably have more news about that in the next month, probably once we get the name secured and the... We already have the name, but we don't want to announce it yet.
Has the name changed?
Waiting for the logo. No, the name didn't change.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're waiting on the logo. We have people working on that. Steve here.
I was going to say people, you mean Steve.
there's another guy who's doing something, and we'll see which is better. It will be a logo that match or something like that. So
that's how logo deathmatch works, but it sounds cool, so let's go with it. All right. It
works like a Photoshop fight, probably.
Okay. So I think that covers news.
Yep.
All right. So on that note, we're going to take a break, get some caffeine, and come back and try to power through the rest of the show. So be right back, geeks. And we're back. So, main topic, tournament prep.
Oh, yeah.
Take it away, Steve.
Fluffmaster Steve.
The first thing I want to say is a word of wisdom. Is no matter how much you plan, how much you schedule, most of the time, if not always, the night before the tournament or the event you're attending, you're going to stand up. You're going to stand up all night painting your models, finishing and being last minute. There's no way to avoid it. No matter how much you plan, every year I get caught into this. And there's always a point in your schedule. Like you say, oh, things are going well. I'm going to make it this year. I'm going to do it. It's going to be fine. And then boom. You crash and burn and you miss your deadline and you paint all night long.
Yeah, I'm looking at that this week for TempleCon. Cause I'm like, okay, well, I don't have much to paint. Oh wait, I'm buying a whole like second PHR starter and a bunch of other models and I can do that. Oh wait, I still have to paint my Warpwolf guy and, oh, yeah.
You're leaving Wednesday in 4 days?
Yeah. Yeah,
but you're not driving, so I heard tales of people painting in the car going to the open. So
yeah, well, I mean, Antoine and I went to TempleCon 2 years 2 years ago,
3 years ago. That time, 2 years ago, maybe.
No, it was 2 years ago. 3 years ago was it was 2 years ago when we played in the double tournament.
Yeah,
and we were painting Sisters of Battle in the room until like 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever.
See,
it's a classic.
Yeah. It's part of the ritual, I guess.
And last year I was doing the same with the board commission. I was finishing the sanding and the resin on the board for Andalem in the room.
Nice.
See, that never happened to me and I really feel left out because I heard that story like numerous times.
But you're La Machine too. You earned that nickname because of your speed. So, and you are crazy planning your year in advance, years in advance almost for your painting. So I can see why you don't have that bug.
Bug.
So another thing you have to first after making the schedule and trying to figure out if you're going to make it or not. One thing you have to know is book your hotel. It sounds stupid. But
don't wait till the last minute.
Don't wait till the last minute. If you plan to go to an event, book your hotel. Even if like there's a 10% chance you're going to go to the event, just book the hotel room right away. And most of them you can cancel like 48 hours or even 24 hours before the event and without penalties or anything, especially in the United States. I know it's possible and I think most of the place in Quebec as well. So just so you won't like
decide. They have a place to stay.
Yeah, exactly. And your last minute, you find buddies and everything. And oh yeah, we should get a room. Oh, it's full.
And then you have to do 20 minutes of car just to get to the event hall and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. And travel your stuff into your car and everything. So
if you do that, you can drink less because you need to drive back to the hotel and stuff like that. And don't get with the party.
And you're all left alone, like Antoine is in his basement. So you don't want that. After that, well, buy your ticket. It sounds stupid, but plan to buy your ticket for the event before it's sold out. Some events are really getting sold out quickly.
You laugh. Didn't sell out, but I bugged Dan to buy his ticket for TempleCon.
Oh, for a month?
For months. And in the end, he still missed the cutoff date. And now we have to pick it up when we're there. Like, he could buy the ticket, but it didn't get sent to him. So he has to pick it up on site now.
Yeah.
So... See?
So the first day you need to do the line.
Get early and waste.
Most of the time it costs you more when you buy at the door than if you pre-register.
What's the thing? For convention.
Yeah. In this case, Dan didn't because he prepaid.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you buy at the door, generally speaking, it's always more expensive. Whether it's tournaments or conventions or whatever.
And if we are talking tournament specific, check the players pack. For rules, scenario, what type of comp they're using. I'm talking mostly for fantasy and 40k. What books are allowed? What is authorized? What is disallowed?
Check both languages. Make sure they say the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is
all. Did that happen?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it happens.
It happened at the Kiosk of the Class this year.
This year it happened.
Oh.
Okay. It was
there was a translation error,
small thing,
copy paste problem.
Okay,
but most the events are not bilinguals.
But yeah, you always have to check the format.
Yeah, check the format before you register. And
you know, it's funny, we're talking about stuff, and it
seems obvious,
so obvious, and yet how many times do you guys who run events, people show up and they're shocked or amazed by a rule or something you're doing, or the scenarios or whatever, and the things are published months in advance.
Yeah.
I know. And like, when you, and as well, check if there's a date to submit your army list, because like it's, some people just miss the deadline to submit their army list because the TO wants to check if everything is legal. And how many people miss that date? Like they say, I forgot or anything, but still, so most of the tournament, it's going to cost you points if you don't submit your list on time or with errors. So have your list checked and submitted on time. And as well, for the painting, you can check some of the tournament, they have checklists that you can use as a reference to see like how to improve your score for the painting.
Soft score.
Right? Yeah, your soft score. So like use some freehands, conversion, basing, get a display board. These are the most common things you can do to raise
your... Write up a story.
Yeah. Have a background for your army. Fluff. See? How come some fluff? So have fluff for your army. And these are the most common thing you can get in lots of tournaments. So if you have like standard orc army, just write a basic orc fluff. They go out, they did blah, 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 destroy everything, blah, blah, blah. And just carry sheets with you and you're safe for most of your tournament during the year.
Orc fluff must be hilarious to write. It's like writing a story about potatoes.
It's fungus who reproduce themselves.
Well, that's just it, right?
Exactly.
They're spores, they land, they grow, you know.
Well, they are fun. I made some for my army. So
well, you can do anything, right?
It's pretty cool.
Mix
of savagery and comedy.
Yeah. Another thing is, while planning your army, do lots of test game. The more you do, the best it is, because you're going to be more at ease with all the rules and the synergy of your army when you're at the tournament. And it's going to be more fun for you, but for your opponent as well. Even if you have a dick army,
a fluff army.
Sorry. More editing for you.
No, no.
Okay. So if you, even you have your bat.
If your army's called Richard, it's okay.
Exactly. So if you have a filthy army, if you know how to play it and you're not too bad while playing it, it's going to be easier on your opponent. So
probably easier on your sportsmanship score.
Exactly. So, well, so know your army, know your rules, and be really prepared. Like,
yeah. Well, that's the thing about like practicing your list. And you said something earlier about knowing the scenario pack.
Yeah.
Like, practice those scenarios.
Exactly.
Or in warm-up hordes. I mean, you know it's going to be either like a steamroller or hardcore. So practice those scenarios.
With those time limits.
Exactly. Also. Practice the exact format and you practice the list you want to bring. That's how you get speed. And that's how you will see if there's a hole in the army. Like, oh, I cannot cover for that type of army for that type of scenario. I got no answers for that. So that's how you fine tune your list and you get more speed. Because you cannot waste time finding the synergy or finding an answer during a game.
At the tournament. And the thing is, it not only will it make your games faster, it'll make them more enjoyable.
And it's also good to know because your local meta might not play with some rules and you might get to the tournament and like for Fantasy Blood and Glory at I don't know how many Adepticons ago, some people don't only do battle lines, but they had a scenario with Blood and Glory and the guy lost the game before starting
because he had no fortitude.
He didn't have enough fortitude.
Or he only had the general and BSB or something and that was it.
Yeah.
So he auto-lasted the game.
At Adepticon, they always have at least one of the scenario that's pure Blood and Glory, well, so you have to be prepared.
A lot of people who aren't tournament players or whatever, they play most miniature, and I don't understand why you would, because I find it incredibly dull, but a lot of people play most miniature games in a battle line type scenario where I'm just going to beat your face in, and you're going to beat my face in, and when one of us is dead, the other one wins.
Mm-hmm.
Which, in my opinion, you're missing the point, right? Yeah. You're taking strategy out of the game and turning it into a beat stick game.
Just touch it.
Yeah.
Rock, paper, scissor game.
That takes 4 hours.
Yeah.
And depending on the game, some armies play more toward the scenario than toward the bloodshed. So some armies might be disadvantaged if you play like that.
It was I'm just going to drop some commanders as a reference because I've been playing it this week. The army I play is very, very tough. They have good guns. They're very tough, but they're super slow moving. If you were playing in a, just a battle line type game, it would be hard to deal with my army because their big disadvantage is that they're super slow. So they have a hard time getting to objectives and, but if you take out the whole objective part of the game, well, you've unbalanced that army because it's based around these scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's how they balance the game. So you're inherently change how the game plays when you start dropping stuff like that from gameplay. It's like fantasy.
Balance is built into it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's like fantasy people that just ignore buildings. Yeah. Well, you go to a tournament and they're using buildings and some guy, conga lines all of a sudden teleports into a building, does something weird. And you're like, what's going on? Well, that's totally legal. It may not be the fluffiest thing to do, Steve, but it's, that's funny.
It's okay. I did it once.
Yeah. I know we talked about it. That's why I mentioned it. But, it's important to know. But even if your meta doesn't do it, it's important to know the rules. The only way you're going to do that is by playing the scenarios and practicing the game before attending the event.
And talking about meta, that's another thing you have to know before going to a tournament is know the meta. Like, what's the new broken fill that's going to be allowed at the tournament? Be prepared for that because odds are this fill is going to be present. So, you have to kind of, when you're going to a tournament, most of the time you know it a couple of months in advance. So watch what's coming out and what's going
to
be allowed.
That's higher level. I mean, you have to really do research, like online, what kind of army wins tournaments and you have to prepare for that. And I don't do that kind of thing, but I know that competitive players, they do that kind of thing. So every game is the same. Like you have to have an answer for it. I know I'm going to face that power list. It's sure to be there.
So and I think that's easier with some games than others. I think if you look at 40K and Fantasy and Privateer Press, where tournament stuff is published and there's lots of tournaments, so you can collect lots of data, is one thing. But doing it for a smaller run game like Relic Knights or Malifaux maybe might be more difficult because there's just not as much data out there, so it's harder to get a good sample.
But they also have a slower release rate, so it's less the of meta a problem. Changes,
yeah,
the meta changes slower. While look at 40K, they have a book a month at least, and the meta changes really fast. Or War Machine stuff comes out for every faction every month. 40K,
the meta doesn't change that fast. Tau and Eldar still win.
Yeah, exactly.
They have a balance problem. It's not the same.
But if you bring to Imperial Knight, it helps you as well. So.
Yeah. Take War Machine. You go back a year ago, and Mega Armor was a problem. But now, with the Meat Mountain list and Fist of Alak and stuff like that, that's all kind of lists that have high armor and multi-wounds infantry that people have to deal with. And most lists a year ago were not able to deal with that because it was not in the meta. But that's not one release. It's release over months because they release stuff every month. So you need to stay up to date.
And that's the thing that keeps these games fresh, right, is the fact that they evolve.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're talking about fantasy a lot, and it's because fantasy is one of the games where the meta changes quite a bit. And so up to recently, or even still now, we see lots of fast cav. That seems to be the thing.
The new oddness. Avoidance list.
Avoidance list. But now we're starting to see the return of like the big block infantry, which was beginning of 8th edition, right? So it's like cycles.
Yeah, and like before all the fast cav, we had a kind of wave of monstrous cav. Like all the army had lots of monstrous cav, so you had to be prepared for monstrous cav. Now you have to be prepared for elves because elves are everywhere, especially with the combined list from Kane. You're going to see more and more elves, so you have to know what's more and more in attendance in the meta to prepare yourself if you want. To not die.
How to deal with those wild riders?
Yeah.
The war dancers, man.
The war dancers.
Stealth filth, the war dancer.
But it's funny hearing people talk. I listen to a lot of podcasts, most of them fantasy. And a lot of them, aside from Garage Hammer, are all tournament based, right?
Yeah, most of them.
And you listen to the guys from Chump Hammer, Pete, and he's talking about how he's using Eternal Guard. And how he took a giant block of Eternal Guard. I'm like, why would you take Eternal Guard? I mean, I know they're stubborn. I know they're good as a pit. But he's like, well, you combine them with a Poison Forest, and all of a sudden, they start stacking stuff. And you're like, oh, I never thought of that. Oh, okay. but that's how you tell a tournament player, right? They're constantly evolving the game to try to come up with something new to catch people unaware.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But, and that's part of what Yom said earlier, like do research and listening to
look for synergies.
Yeah.
Right?
And listening to podcasts is part of the research nowadays because it's not only forums and like it used to be like forums and blogs. You have more sources like Twitter and the podcast that talking about lots of tournaments everywhere.
I want to emphasize what Yom said also. That's for advanced tournament play.
Yeah.
If you do local events, you do a tournament at your local store, you don't need to do as much of that.
No.
You play in your local meta, you already know it. You play probably to a lower level also. So you can adapt your preparation to the event you're going to. If you're going to the game at your local Game Workshop store, it's not the same as going to Adepticon.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
Yeah. And I'm not at that level. I mean, I would just build a list that works. Like, the synergy is good within the list, but I would not prepare or study the local meta or the, like, national meta. No, I'm not going to do that.
But one thing that about list building and everything, I don't know how many arguments I've gone into with people's. It's not the list that makes the player. Right.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's part of a recipe, right?
Exactly.
One ingredient doesn't make the cookies.
Exactly. So, even though you have cookies.
Except bacon.
Bacon. I
mean, you still need the ingredients, but yes, it's the cook who makes the difference.
So you can have a cutthroat netlist if you don't know how to use it and how to play with it
you won't win a game.
Yeah, exactly. So you're just going to be going to a tournament and you'll have the net list and people are going to frown about you, upon you because like you have a cutthroat list and they will anticipate a bad game, but you might not be a bad person, but you have a bad list. So people are going to assume you're like
a dick player.
Yeah.
Or exactly.
A richer player.
So it's really take what you like to play and what you're used to play, and things are going to flow and you're going to be good, I think.
And the thing is, if you practice, you know, with your list and you do the, you practice at home or with your friends or whatever, and you practice the scenarios, you'll tweak your list, right? You'll see where your list has holes, like we were saying, and that list will evolve and become a better list, and you'll be more prepared. The tournament will be more enjoyable. Your opponents will have more fun because you won't be slow playing. And unintentionally slow playing, maybe, but still slow playing. And but it's true; it happens a lot, right? These games are all timed.
Yes. So and you will have more fun because you will feel less stress.
Yeah, because it's stressful when you think you realize you're taking three times as much time to play a round as your opponent. That's stressful.
Yeah, and especially if you go for games like War Machine that use the chess clocks, you have your own time.
Yeah.
It's not a global clock like most of the Game Workshop tournaments. So if you pass your time over, you're dead. You're done. Yeah. So there's more stress involved if you play a game like that.
And stress can make you lose focus, can make you lose confidence.
You make mistakes.
And you make more mistakes,
When we said that you have to practice the list and make fine-tuning of the list, sometimes also means that you have to bring more models or new models. You have to switch. So
like a sideboard.
Yeah, exactly. So if you have, you've studied the scenario packs or, you know, just the format of the tournament, maybe there's different prizes that you can go for. So if you're a good painter and you want to go for the painting prize, you have to think in advance to get, save some time aside. Saying if I have to fine tune my list, I will need time to paint more models also.
Yeah.
It's not about just rushing to go to do the whole army, but the fine tuning of, I need to switch a character. I need to switch a war jackwheeler.
And when it comes to list validation and everything, use your friends. I mean, validate your lists with your friends. Show them all your lists, your items and everything to be sure, like, it's valid, it's confirmed to the scenario pack and everything. So you won't have a
nasty surprise when you show up.
Yeah, exactly. And they say, what? Your list is not valid, so you have to change it. So
that's a good point for games like 40k or Fantasy where the list building is complicated.
It's complicated.
Yeah. Take War Machine or Malifaux. The point costs are low, and you don't have that many options. But for games with or Dreadzone Commander, there's a lot more. The points are higher. You have options. Any of the Spartan games is the same. Those, you really need to double check and triple check if you don't want to make a mistake and be penalized for it.
Exactly. Because it's not fun to start off at a negative before you even play the game, right?
Yeah.
Another thing I do for a tournament, if I have time, is I do a kind of job aid, like a checklist of things to do during my game. Like stuff to remember, to be sure. So I follow the list before the game and everything. Because even if you practice and everything, you think you know all your rules by heart and you know your list, you know your items, you know everything, you still make mistakes. So with a checklist, kind of checklist, like how do I deploy and like reminders as well, like for fantasy, like stupidity for trolls, animosity, like the orders of things to do during your turn.
It's deploy your scouts during the scouts instead
of exactly.
In your deployment zone and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. So you put giant reminder like on a sheet of paper you put on the table when you deploy your army. So it's going to help you at the start of the game and probably during the game as well.
Yeah, remember to bring the scouts in or ambushers. Like yeah. We have that in Fantasy or War Machine or 40K. Some models can come in later in the game. And if you left them on your tray under the table, you might completely forget them.
You'll forget them for sure during the stress of a game, yeah. Before you leave your house to go to the event. Double check, triple check everything.
You've got your pencil, you've got your dice, you've got your tape measure, you've got your...
Yeah,
pen. Your model cards.
Cards.
Template. Codex
cards. I always forget a card. I always forget a card or something.
A model. And if you're able to, like, for infantry model, bring a spare. Yeah. Bring a couple of more. Odds are you're going to break one or a banner. Yeah,
bring glue and accelerator.
Super glue is important.
Check your painting table before leaving. You might have worked on something the night before. And just forget your big centerpiece.
It's not packed, yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't pack it.
So be sure to check everything and pack everything, like dice, templates, cards.
Bring a pen.
Yeah, a pen, because you have to write your result at the end of the game, your...
There's most
notes or anything.
Most of the tournaments provide some. But there might not be enough for everyone. People lose them. Bring your own to be sure you're able to fill anything you have to.
Bring deodorant. I'm sorry to bring this up, but...
Well, yeah, that's a generic con or big event thing. Yeah, bring deodorant, have a shower, and don't forget to eat.
Yeah.
You need to eat and hydrate during the day. If you don't drink water, you'll get an headache.
You'll regret it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, drink painkillers or painkillers might be hard a word, but Tylenols or...
Tylenol, aspirin, something like that. Advil, whatever.
For headaches.
Yeah, drink water during the tournament. It's good advice.
Yes.
Not just beer.
Both.
Try to drink both.
You could bring snacks too. Sometimes they're not provided.
Yeah.
When you have the lunch, you're hungry, and
just
there
reach.
Might not be any place to buy anything to eat. Yeah. So bring like granola bars.
Yeah, we'll bring nut bars, not like
fruit
candy
or,
bar, but,
no, but yeah.
Something that will give you energy. Like, yeah. So it's like a marathon, so you have to
seriously.
Some tournaments, they have no breaks, so you have to have enough water and like those snacks. So, yeah.
Yeah, like at TempoCon, which Paul is going next week, Guillaume and I, we did the team tournament in the last 2 years, and that's 6 games with no breaks.
Yeah, that's all.
If you need to eat, you need to have a friend that go pick up something for you between a round.
There's no break in the War Machine team tournament.
My first year, at some point, I went to AXA, the PG, the TO, the tournament organizer, and I asked him, when is the break? It looks at me funny. Break? There's no break at TempoCon. So yeah. So
that's something you
there's
can
no break.
Check before.
Yeah.
Because that's if there's insane. A player pack, there might be a schedule in it, and check the schedule. Will you be able to eat during the day? If not, bring something. If you have lunch provided or lunch break, then you can go out. But if not, have something with you. Don't learn it there and be unprepared and hungry for the rest of the day.
Another important thing to do is check the expiry date on your passport. If you're going to a tournament outside the country, remember you have to have a valid passport. The expiry date needs to be more than 6 months away from your return date most of the time. Seriously.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
6 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
What's the point?
That's good.
You can stay there for 6 months without a problem.
Okay.
But if you go up to 6 months, it can be considered like a standard visit. But after that, not.
Okay.
And if your passport expires when you're there, they don't want that to happen.
So
we mentioned that we're in Canada. Most of the U.S. player only play in the U.S. In the U.S. event. But Canadian, most of the time.
Because we're near the border, right? We can go across?
Yeah, we go across.
So,
like we're talking about going to John's event, right?
So. Yeah, or just TempoCon. There's
TempoCon.
People from Australia.
Yeah, Rhode Island is in the United States.
UK, stuff like that.
You wouldn't know it.
International player are coming in. So.
Yeah. And you wouldn't know Rhode Island's in the States. There's a lot of Côtés and Fillons and...
No, it's warmer. Definitely warmer.
That's true. That's true.
What else did we have? Just checking the notes.
Oh, something that might contradict other stuff we said,
but
try to sleep before the tournament. If you can, and have your stuff painted the night before, then sleep for the night. Getting there, sleep deprived, you'll get an headache early, easier. Your game won't be as fun. If you're able to, and if you have painted like Guillaume in advance,
yeah,
sleep the night before. Don't go on a tournament with 2 or 3 hours of sleep.
My roommates will be painting until the wee hours, but I will be sleeping because of my machine.
Because yeah, I painted till.
Oh, I do that all the time. I know I never sleep the night before, but I also pay the price in the morning.
Yeah, I think even for Chaos Nedzik this year, even though I was at the ringer and didn't matter, I was painting until like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to getting stuff ready.
Another thing you can do if you have, you're part of a club or something like that, and you have spare club dice, bring them to give to your opponents after a game.
Steve's super secret technique to get,
gets you sports score. Point. Oh, yeah. Good for sportsmanship. Actually, no, but it's good for promotion. Like, or if you have a commission painting service, I don't know, like Yom or Antoine, bring some business card to like give to your opponents after the game. So you can promote yourself as well.
That's actually a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good opportunity for
or if you have a podcast.
Last year, when I went to TempoCon, I donated some models to the raffle, Leicester Hemisphere raffle.
Yeah, because they do a charity raffle.
Yeah, so I painted a unit and like left them on the table and put some business cards. And I was the only one who did that. Some people made fun of me for that. I mean, for me, it's a given. I mean, you give things away and it's a publicity. I give them, but here's the business card. I'm the guy who printed that. Do you like that? Yeah, you can contact me. I mean, I don't know.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I was the only one who did that. Okay.
People are strange. I have to check that out this year. I always forget to check out the raffle when I'm there.
And it's big this year. I don't know if you listened to the Last Hemisphere podcast.
No, I haven't.
No. They have a whole Convergence army painted in a battle foam bag with all the trays, the foam trays cut for it. All the accessories, the dice, the cards are sleeved. They have all the templates, and that's only one guy gave that. And that's one price.
So yes, that's you will have to check the raffle.
Many and many, many prices.
Because I will give you money to buy me tickets over there.
Okay.
You can use people as proxies like that. So
no problem.
I'm just telling you that you will be my proxy.
That's fine.
It's official. Sorry with that. One tip I just thought about. When you practice your list, try to go to the alpha dogs. Like, you know, the top players in your community, the one that will crush you for sure,
go play fight them. Them.
Yeah,
play against them. That's the best way to learn prep. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
because yes, they will probably defeat you, but after the game, they will give you tips. And these are pro tips. I mean, they will give you, like, the debriefing will be really important.
And you'll find the holes in your army or how you play the army, maybe.
A better player and facing off against like top players like that will give you an experience about dealing with stress of facing a better opponent than you.
Yeah.
Yeah, cause it's going to happen, right? Everyone, that is everyone.
And also try to play out of your normal gaming circle if you can, like before when you're prepping for a tournament, because when you play against your friend, when you play a lot against the same person, you kind of know how they're going to react to this and this and this. So you can kind of predict how they're going to play. So it's easier to win or try to counter that person. So if you try to like go on forums or Twitter or Facebook group or anything, like you can try to find people outside of your normal playing groups, and then you'll know how you can perform against an outsider. End quote.
Yeah, and if your local meta is so small that you can't really play against people you don't know, there's always Vassal.
Yeah.
If you really want to practice, that's a way.
Let's try. I didn't even thought of that, but using Vassal to do that.
Yeah. Some people on Vassal, they will practice like speed deployment.
Yeah, they do only the first turn.
Yeah, first turn, and then they start again. They start again. It's just deployment first turn.
For time game like War Machine?
I mean, competitive players.
Yeah, competitive player.
Yeah.
Well, normal people don't do that.
Well, don't worry, you won't see me doing it, that's for sure. No, but that's a good idea. I haven't thought of that. So, any other words of wisdom, Steve?
Well, sometimes you have weird ritual, like, well, no, but it's weird, but what I do, no, it's not weird like some people do, but I test my dice. Seriously.
Yeah, we asked for people ritual or weird tournament history.
On Twitter.
And that's something someone else said before. So
okay.
What do you do?
So, usually, I'm a compulsive. Paul is giving me weird looks.
Actually, Paul's trying not to yawn. That's okay. All. So, you're good.
I'm a compulsive person, so I buy lots and lots of different set of dice. And if they roll crap at an event, I just put them aside and I never use them again. So, and before I go to an event, like, I will try to bring around 20 dice and, I'll roll 10 and 10 and see how much they roll, like, on the average. Usually I check for 4 ups and, like, couple of times, and if they roll bad, I just put them aside and try a new set of dice. Yeah.
It's so hardcore.
It's something one of our listener, Eric Arlo, mentioned the same exact thing. He practices dice. He rolls them in advance and pick the one he wants.
I don't trust my dice enough because they'll trick me. Yeah. I know by now that I could roll sixes all day long, and then I get to the event and I'm rolling twos, and this is the way it is.
Did we have any other weird ritual mentioned?
But other stuff we got mentioned. Jordan from All Us Geeks mentioned always check your stuff. In preparation for a dust tournament, he got his army, his dice, his card, his minis, all the supply lined up. Confidence was high. Arrived at the tournament and discovered he forgot his tape measure.
Yeah, that's happened to all of us. How many?
Yeah.
You know? I don't want anyone who hasn't forgotten the tape measure at one point or dice. It's the way it works.
Tape measure is a common thing you forget.
Another listener, Ben Goodrat, mentioned don't carry your armies in a gun case to a tournament.
Yep.
You might have a surprise.
Ben's actually a friend of mine, and I remember him doing that. You know, you get on this is back in college, right?
Yeah. But that's. You can do that more in the States, but yes. In Canada,
it's and the border.
Lots
of dust players, they use like a ammo like crate.
Yeah. So the thing is with Ben, this was back, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. There weren't really army bags. Like the Sable was out, but not a lot of people had them. And if you needed a way to transport models, you know, a gun case was a hard shell, came with egg crate foam. Just drop your models inside, close it up, and go.
It was, and it's also pretty cheap compared to other
miniature
cases.
So it was a good value, and it did the job. But you start walking around with a rifle case everywhere, and people look at you strange.
They give you the look.
Right before they run for cover, yeah. Especially nowadays in today's world, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's it for the one I got. So, Steve, you had one more?
I got a ritual. we got that from Andrew Atkins from OnePlus Armor who went to a tournament. And before the tournament, one of his roommate will keep the roommate's name secret for...
Oh, no.
You want me to tell it's sure. Chris Haynes? Okay, it's Chris Haynes.
Canhammer, Chris Haynes.
From Canhammer, who got up at 6 a.m. and he was dancing around while getting dressed and blasting the selfie song before the Unplugged GT 2 years ago. And he told Andrew it was to get pumped before the tournament. So that's one of the weird rituals.
I'm just trying to picture this. I've never met Chris. I, you know, I know what he looks like. I've seen him in interviews and stuff. And I listen to the podcast. And I'm trying to reconcile the idea of that man with that voice who when he podcasts, he's pretty serious, right? Yeah,
exactly.
So was he just dancing to Selfie or was he singing Selfie?
He said he was dancing.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to imagine him singing it too, which is even a better image. Yeah, I don't have any rituals like that. The closest thing I have is the late night painting until 20 minutes before the event type ritual.
I think that's lots of people's ritual prior to our tournament. So that's why it's even more important, since you're painting late night, that the morning after you double and triple check all your models and all your stuff.
Oh, yeah, because you're going to miss something. I'm sure people, like you said, leaving stuff around the table, right? They're painting all night on something and then they're half unconscious. They go out.
Yeah. Oh, or you varnish it and put it somewhere to dry.
Yeah, and then that's it. It's the end of it.
And paint, like, a printed copy of your army list as well to show it to your opponent. This is the thing some people...
And check your tournament pack. Some organization require a number of
printed copies. It requires copies, like one copy per opponent, one copy for the organizer, and a copy for yourself, right?
Exactly. That's pretty much pre-tournament preparation. During the tournament, just one word of advice. Don't drink too much because the last game is going to be horrible for you and your opponent. And it's not going to be fun for either.
Because I've seen people getting really wasted.
Oh, yeah.
But it's no fun. Man.
It's no fun. But buying a beer for your opponent, it's good for sportsmen. Yeah. That's how you get best sports.
There's better ways to strip your models than throwing up on them.
Yeah, exactly.
A beer is fine. I mean... It's not getting wasted.
Yeah, it's not.
That guy can barely stand.
Yeah, I saw that at the boys this year. It was not pretty at all. So that's my word of advice for the tournament. One thing we have to mention, and it's post-tournament blues. Like
the afterburn.
Yeah, the afterburn. Crash and burn. Because, like, you're really minded before you're pumped before going into the tournament, you're psyched, you're really focused, you're eager to play, and when you're there, you're focused all day long, you play lots of game, and you're thinking about your game, and the night when you go drink with your buddies and have a group dinner or anything, like, you talk about your games and everything, how it went during the day.
You're in Obby Heaven.
Yeah. You're full. Yeah, of course it's Obby Heaven. So you're full tilt into the gaming mode. And then the day after, and then when you come back from the event, you talk about the event, how it went, how you place, and what you could have been doing better. What's going to be your next project? Are you going to improve your army from that event? And then you get home, you unpack, you go to work the day after.
And that mental fatigue hits you, eh?
And then you just burn. So you don't want to work. You just want to roll more dice and play more Obby.
But yes and no.
Or no. And then you get home and you think you say, oh, I'm going to start painting, and it's not there.
You just don't feel it.
You're just too drained from the event and...
It's like too much of a high. Like,
yeah,
it's a
exactly.
Fix you're getting. Yeah, so after that, you like burn on that army or on that game, or like you don't want. It happens to me. I don't want to play that game for a couple of weeks after that. If it's too intensive, I'm gonna take a break from that game or from the hobby. I don't want to paint any other model from that faction or anything. Just remind yourself that you do not sell your army right there.
you think you're going to regret it?
No. Just like temporary.
Deep breaths. Walk away.
So, yeah, you're going to want to build and everything, but most of the time it's not going to happen. And you're going to have to wait a couple of weeks before getting your hobby mojo back.
Yeah, yes. Take a break.
Yeah.
Do one of your other hobbies. Anything. Change game or do something else.
Yeah, and spend time with your kids and family since you were away from the weekend during hobby all the week. So that's kind of an advice for post-tournament.
dealing with post-tournament depression.
Yeah, post-tournament, postpartum. I don't think going to a tournament is as hard as giving birth, but...
Well, we'll never know for sure, will we?
No, we won't. So, that word of wisdom.
I'm so going to get so much hate mail. Yeah, I hope my wife never listens to this.
I think we drop our women's listening to zero.
I guess we'll find out next week when we paint with Jill. All right. I think that covers everything.
Yeah, I think so.
So I guess if you geeks out there think we missed anything, post it on our Facebook. Let us know. Love to hear what rituals you have, what prep steps you take that you think that we missed. Because it's interesting to see what people do, right, to prep for these things. All right. So on that note, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and wrap up the show. Be right back, geeks. And we're back. All right, folks. So I'm just going to wrap this up. I think Steve has a little shout out he wants to give. So,
well, if you want to see if my all my good advice about tournament preparation are doing good or not, I'm going to be at the tournament in Gatineau on February 16, organized by OnePlus Armor. We mentioned it on the show before, but it's already sold out. But for those who are there and listen to the show, you can check if my preparation was good or not.
If you can give Steve a beating, he merits one.
Yeah, I deserve it.
Yeah, so that's a challenge to our fans. Break Steve's flawless victory record for the year.
Yeah. I mean, Dom Carrett couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But I'm sure someone out there can do it.
Actually, he couldn't do it
twice. Oh. Even give up on a game, man, that you broke the spirit that I thought I would never see.
Now, our listeners may not know this, but to be domed is actually a verb used by...
Chris Haney said, you've got Dominique, which means you got crushed by Dom.
Yeah, so if Dom walked away from the table depressed, there's little hope of defeating Steve.
We'll see on the 16th.
All right. So, next episode 12, we're going to have some interviews from TempleCon, and we're going to do a little bit of a TempleCon wrap-up show, talking about the demos we did and the event itself, as it grows significantly every year.
It's their 10th year anniversary, also.
Yep, and it's now quite a sizable con. Even from the first time I went only 3 or 4 years ago, which was about 2,000 people, I think it's more than doubled since then.
Oh, yeah, more than that.
Yeah, so it should be interesting to see what goes on for their 10th year. And on that note, we're going to sign off. So I guess that's it. Bye, geeks.
Bye, geeks.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Read our blog at geeksofthenorth.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, on Twitter at PRFilio, and Antoine at Eltonio Berg. See you in 2 weeks, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find The Game Huntress. Wherever there's XP or achievements, The Game Huntress blog will always be on the hunt. The United Geeks Network. you can broadcast your geekiness at unitedgeeksnetwork.com.
In the past month so far, I have completed Lostarot Markorgias. Markorgias for Anima Tactics from Cypher Studio.